Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace on earth. Will it ever happen? Will there ever be a day when every person on earth gets along with every other person and there is no more war? Will there be a day when we as Americans will stop fighting with one another? If you're watching the news, it does not seem like it. Will there be a day when we will stop being divided to live as one? If not the whole world, if not our country, will there ever be a day when the whole Christian church will finally embrace and come back together like they were in the beginning? If you read the foreword of the Augsburg Confession, it says the whole goal of the thing is unity. In order for this to happen, I think each person would have to lay down every little thing that tears us apart. Is that possible? And are there some things that we should be unwilling to lay down, even if it is the only thing keeping us apart? John Lennon of the Beatles wrote a song called Imagine, and I don't know if you read in the news this past week, but somebody said that this should be maybe our national anthem. But John Lennon of the Beatles once wrote a song called Imagine, and let me quote you some of the words. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer. I'm not the only one. I hope that someday you will join us and the world will live as one. Some of the things that he mentions, they may be worth giving up. The song finishes with the words that the world will live as one. And there are a lot of things that he mentions for us to give up. And some of those things I would agree with. Maybe no greed. It would be nice to give up greed. No hunger. But he asks you to give up far more than that in the song. In the opening line, he says this. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all of the people living for today. Lennon is singing about giving up our hope. His logic is that if you have nothing to hope for, nothing to fear, hell below us, then you won't fight because there'll be nothing to fight for. But Jesus comes at this idea from a totally different perspective. As Jesus is giving instructions to the 12 disciples before he sends them out, he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those in his own household," Jesus says. Now, John Lennon would be appalled. But who cares? John wanted all people to lay down things that kept them apart. But if you followed the Beatles at all, you knew that not even John nor Paul could keep the things that kept the Beatles apart from happening. Jesus has given us something. He has given us something that we should never be willing to lay down. He is, even if that means the death of our body. Jesus has given us new life. And this is not worth giving up, even for global peace. After all, what would global peace be if in order to get it, you had to deny the God who created and redeemed us? Nothing is worth that. Our faith in Jesus Christ is worth holding on to, even if it means losing family members. I'll tell a story. I've told this story before, but it's worth telling. When I was in Turkey back in 1997, I met a man named Mustafa. Mustafa met with myself and a group of missionaries. He met with us in order to tell his story. He told us the testimony of how shocked, Jesus brought to him the Christian faith. Many times during our talk with Mustafa, all of us missionaries from the United States were shocked as he told us about the things that he lost in order to become a Christian. He was a successful businessman, actually a journalist, before and now. When I met him, he was dirt poor. He was blessed to have family connections in the government that could get him places. Now, he could no longer use any of those connections. Before Jesus, Mustafa was very successful and he was well liked in the world. When Mustafa was made a Christian by God's own choosing, he was no longer one with the world and he lost his former life, including job, family, and friends. His father disowned him, and his whole family refused to talk to him. How many of you have lost job, family? Probably none of you, to become a Christian. Some of you may have lost friends. How many of you would be willing to lay down the joy of heaven for approval from man? Some things are worth fighting for. As Christians, we are not at enmity with the world. We love the world, but we love them for a different reason, not for their approval, but for their saving. Paul tells us that sin, which our body loves, it's not natural for us. In writing to the Romans, he explained how sin should be foreign to a Christian. He said, "My brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive." And earlier in Romans 6, he lets us know that in baptism, we were actually separated from the world and we were united to Jesus. We were united in him in our baptism in a death like his so that we can be resurrected with him in a resurrection like his. You are different. You may want to be just like everybody else, but you're not. You're separated. Our old life was crucified. It was killed on the cross. You see what this means? You were made a new creation. You were made to be at war with your own sinful nature. Do you ever do things and say, I hate that I did that? Do you ever find yourself giving into temptation and you feel terrible? You want to bring that to Jesus. It's not natural for you anymore. You don't like it. You hate it. And you want to say, Jesus, forgive this. By the blood of your cross, take this away. I don't want it in my life. Every time we confess our sin, it is put to death by the forgiveness that comes from his cross. And for some people like Mustafa, this new life, it also means losing people that you love. You want to know something? He never stopped loving his father, his mother. He never stopped loving the perks that he had from his old life, where he was respected. He still wanted those things. But those things failed in comparison to what he now had in Jesus, and he was not willing to give it up. And Jesus knew that this type of thing would happen. He knew that the world would rise up against us. And he taught them. He taught up, teaches us this morning. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And Mustafa could have found his life in a good career. He could have found his life in respect from other people. But he lost those things and held on to Jesus. Whoever loses his life, as Mustafa did, for my sake will find it. Mustafa lost earthly life for Christ's sake, but he was baptized into a life that will never end. He did not love his family more than Christ, and it cost him. He did not love his family. He did not love his family more than the family of God. It should also be noted, if Mustafa would have denied Jesus to keep his family, guess what? He would have lost them both on the last day. But by holding fast to Jesus, even at the threat of losing a relationship with family, he shared with them the truth of Jesus. And who knows? Maybe someday by the Holy Spirit, this will bring his whole family to faith. You see, Mustafa actually loved his family more than himself by confessing what Jesus did for him on the cross. What Jesus gives to him in the Word and in the Supper is more than what we have in this life. In his prayer, you think he stopped praying for his family? Do you think he said, to heck with them? No. He fervently prays that his family will know what he knows. He fervently prays that his family will join him at the table. This is a hard teaching, but it must be said. This teaching reaffirms what you said on your confirmation day. If you're confirmed, you said with God's help, you would die before denying your faith in Christ. The reason that we can say something like that is because of who Jesus is. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the first and the last. All things are in his possession. Everything. And all things are under Jesus' authority. To give up him for the things in the world, it makes absolutely no sense. For the things in this world, they will perish. Respect. You can have respect from a person today and lose it tomorrow. And sometimes by nothing that you've done. The respect of man is fleeting. But Christ is eternal. When you gain Jesus, you gain much more than you leave behind. You gain life. And I hope that this is a comfort. And I hope that this is a strength for you as you ponder your faith. Some things are worth fighting for and even dying for. Now, as a Christian, I don't mean that we take up arms. But as a Christian, I mean that we take up our cross. I mean that we lay down our lives for the sake of others. I mean that when somebody hits our cheek, we turn to them the other cheek. You don't have to fight. On the news right now, we're watching everybody fighting for position. We want to love all groups. And the reason is, we desire that all groups would join us in heaven with Jesus. We desire that every last person would gather around the table, no matter the color of their skin, no matter the position of income. I had a great experience out in California as a pastor. There was this homeless man who went through confirmation at our church. And I loved that in the church service, we would have a man, and he said that he was homeless by choice. He said, but that's a long story. But we had a homeless man that sat in the same pew as millionaires. It was awesome because I know they gathered around the same gifts that made them rich in eternity. Did they have differences here? Big time. May it be weird for them out on the street? Big time. But they knelt together right next to each other at the table of our Lord. And that is our prayer for all people. They may reject us. We'll never reject them. They may reject Christ and His message. We will always pray for their salvation. And if somebody feels animosity towards you, you already have the prayer to pray. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And remember where you came from. The Bible says that at one time we were all enemies of God. The ones watching out there, the ones in this room, it says, but the love of God caused Jesus to lay down His life for His enemies in order that we would be called children of God. So when I say that we fight for what we believe in, I mean that we lay down our life because we believe that the person accusing us should be saved. Jesus knew that some things were worth fighting and dying for. That is why Jesus fought and died for you. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until He returns for you. Amen.